in a fog. It was no longer possible to grasp anything. The instincts of self-preservation, of self-defense, of pride had all deserted us. In one ultimate moment of lucidity, it seemed to me that we were damned souls wandering in the half-world, souls condemned to wander through space till the generations of man came to an end, seeking their redemption, seeking oblivion, without hope of finding it.
Let's go over what happened in this section. The prisoners enter a barracks, which is like a dormitory or bunkhouse where a bunch of people live together, as in the army. In the barracks, they are ordered to take off their clothes. The camp officers look them over and send them to have their hair cut and their bodies shaved. Normally, this would be really humiliating, but after all the horrible things these prisoners have seen, feelings like embarrassment no longer matter much to them. Even saving themselves from harm, or as Ellie says, self-preservation, no longer matters much to them. They are becoming completely numb. Ellie tries to make sense of what is happening, and in a moment of lucidity, which means a moment of seeing and thinking clearly, he realizes that the prisoners are trapped in a world that is somewhere between life and death. Ellie says the prisoners are looking for either redemption, to be saved, or oblivion, to be forgotten, but that, in the end, they will find neither. No one is going to save them, and the Nazis are not going to forget about them. Let's keep reading from the second paragraph on page 34, which starts, "Toward 5 o'clock."
Toward 5 o'clock in the morning, we were driven out of the barracks. The capos beat us once more, but I had ceased to feel any pain from their blows. An icy wind enveloped us. We were naked, our shoes and belts in our hands. The command, "Run!" And we ran. After a few minutes of racing, a new barracks, a barrel of petrol at the entrance. Disinfection. Everyone was soaked in it. Then a hot shower, at high speed. As we came out from the water, we were driven outside. More running. Another barracks. The store. Very long tables, mountains of prison clothes. On we ran. As we passed, trousers, tunic, shirt, and socks were thrown to us. Within a few seconds, we had ceased to be men. If the situation had not been tragic, we should have roared with laughter. Such outfits! Mayor Kotz, a giant, had a child's trousers, and Stern, a thin little chap, a tunic which completely swamped him. We immediately began the necessary exchanges. I glanced at my father. How he had changed. His eyes had grown dim. I would have liked to speak to him, but I did not know what to say. The night was gone. The morning star was shining in the sky. I, too, had become a completely different person. The student of the Talmud, the child that I was, had been consumed in the flames. There remained only a shape that looked like me. A dark flame had entered into my soul and devoured it. So much had happened within such a few hours that I had lost all sense of time. When had we left our houses? And the ghetto? And the train? Was it only a week? One night? One single night?